Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations standpoint. This is Danny Tears Johnson.
Yamanaginagaba, welcome to Let's Talk. I'm your host, Danny Tees Johnson. I'm a Gomeroi boy from Moree, New South Wales. I'd like to start the show by acknowledging the sovereignty of all blackfellas out there, whether you're from the Torres Strait, Palawa, Noongar, or from the Gadigal country. It always was and always will be Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander land, and we always start our show recognising the unceded sovereignty of all First Nations people. Today on the show, we've got a bit of a special one. I've been looking forward to this chat. Part of the work we do here at Let's Talk and AAA Murray Country is every year we have the Original 100. It's where you, the mob, vote in for your favourite Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander songs, whether they're new, old, or in the works, who knows. But last year we had an artist who... I just love the way he sings. I love the way he writes. And we've got him into the studio today, and his name's Jacob Ridgway. How are you, brother?
Good, bro. How you been?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I love talking about music. I think music is a window into who we are as a people, our stories and our lives. And can you start by telling us, brother, who your mob is and where you're from?
Yeah, so my name's Jacob Ridgway, proud Warramai Gamilaroi fella. So dad's side Warramai there, around Crewe, Foster. Mum's side, Mum's nan was Stolen Gem from Pilliga, and Mum's grandfather from Moree.
Yeah, shout out Moree, Mohai mob. Love your big connection there, brother.
Rings.
Hey. Now, today we're talking about music. We're talking about songwriting and, you know, how did that all begin for you? I know, you know, music is big in a lot of families, but whether people can go on and do that professionally or not, it's another yarn. But how did you get into music? And I guess what were some of your early influences?
She used to do that little country circuit when she was growing up out Dubbo. So I lived there till I was six, so I kind of remember Mum like singing like these early songs, Gene Stafford, like early Keith Urban.
Was she on stage doing it or just singing around the kitchen table?
No, both.
Yeah, right.
Like kind of took a step back when she had me, went into that mother role, and I said it was a different, bit of a different time. Back then, we're looking 30 years ago now.
Yeah, my mum's similar like that too. I think, you know, they do take on the mother role full time. It was a bit different 20, 30, 40 years ago, yeah. And today it's more shared and more equal.
Yeah, but Pop also was also singing, still does all the entertaining down home.
Yeah, who's your Pop, sorry?
I'd be known down there as Uncle John Ridgway. So he'd been doing all that country gospel stuff around the mission and that all the time, travelling around. When Auntie Oriel, Andrew, like, late coming through, like, Uncle Jimmy Little, they'd be giving Pop a call. And when Pop got Citizen of the Year one year, and they ended up getting Uncle Jimmy to present him the award.
Yeah, right.
A bit of a jam and that together. So that's a good memory for me. But, yeah, a lot of that was my earliest memories, Mum singing. Grew up on that 90s country.
Yep.
That 90s R&B, like old dad and his mates, like bumping that. So, you know, that influence goes with mob.
And do you have those memories of in the backyard or, you know, out home there and lots of mob around with guitars and lots of sing-alongs? And was that something that you grew up around?
I've got, like, real, like, vague early memories from, like, at mission at Arnie Ag's house and stuff like that. They used to get the guitar and have a bit of a jam, but a lot of it was just like Mum singing to us. Or, hey, look, I got the Raid shirt on here today, but the only thing that would get me to sleep, like through the day and stuff like that, Mum would pre-tape Rage. So that was our thing. We'd get up of a morning, we would watch Rage. I remember, now she can hate me for telling this one, but I taped over Rage with Mum and Dad's wedding video.
Oh, really?
I was like 3 years old, so Mum was crooked and didn't want to get up there one morning. So me, Cluey little fella, just put this tape.
And you know, you knew how to work the VCR cuts.
You knew how to work the VCR. And then threw it in, and then it's all finished, and then tape's out, and I'm like, show Mum. Mum's sitting there like crying, but like proud as like, because I'm just sitting here like, Nothing but all teeth, all grin.
Yep.
And she just realised what tape it was, and she's like, oh, no.
But it must have been good music, right?
Oh, look, I remember, like, it was like Boys to Men.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, there was, yeah, a lot of that stuff on there too. I mean, the one I remember, like, is like, Hathaway, What Is Love?
What is love?
That's a jam. That's a jam, man.
I remember that. The 90s were just a great era for music. You know, I remember when the 90s ended and people look back on it and they think, oh, it wasn't that great. And then 5 years went by and then we look back on the 90s and went, wow, that was a great decade for music.
You got everything in the 90s.
Everything.
You literally got every type of music and it was great. Like, I'm a sucker for, like, 90s Euro trash too. Mm-hmm. Like, I love all that stuff. Like, Eiffel 65 Blue.
Yeah. I remember
love that song. Like, going through the grunge, going through all the grunge stuff. Like, I got no guilty pleasure with music at all. Like, I'll listen to whatever because I can and I like it. So,
what was the first? Well, I guess the 90s. So probably CDs then. What was the first CD that you ever bought?
CD Savage Garden. Was it titled?
I love it.
Titled. That was the first album. First single was Janet Jackson, Together Again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Unreal, bro. I'm really liking this because I'd know, what would you call your genre of music today?
I don't know.
That you do, because
I suppose it's just like, look, we can just say it's pop, but like, I got the influences I have are just so broad. Like, I follow like a lot of songwriters, like more than artists these days.
Yeah.
So for me, it's about the narrative.
Yep.
That I look back and. Like, my first, like, memory of, like, love and lyrics was listening to Uncle Troy, Cassidaley. Like little things. Like, do you remember that flower I gave? We were nearly not. It was a little yellow daisy with a broken stem, looking sad and tired. Like, that is, like, just how you've, like, pictured something with those words.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is something, like, I really like to model my music from. Like, I just want to be able to paint a story. So if there's no film clip, you can visualise that.
Yeah, and that's one of the Troy's strengths, is his songwriting. In some sense, it's very simplistic, but in that simpleness, this layer of complexities and stories, like the roots that come down from a plant, because I'd know when he writes a song and it's playing, it almost paints a picture in your mind like a cartoon, and that's how I sort of see it, because he puts images in your head.
It's just telling a yarn.
Yeah.
It's like, that's what I love about it. It's not over complicating things. It's just like you're just using your every day-to-day language.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the extension of you or your experiences and life.
So for you, your earlier influences were Savage Garden, Janet Jackson, and obviously your mother and songs they were playing. When did you go, oh, you know, I want to start doing this. I want to sing too. When did, you know... Mum, can pass me the mic, Mum. When did you start doing that?
So it was weird because I started it in school and I got kicked out of my year 8 music class. I refused to sing Screamo. Like, I knew nothing about singing or anything like
what
that.
What is it? Screamo?
Screamo music, like that is real
heavy. Oh, they're real, like, heavy metal. Yeah. Rah, 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 rah.
And, like, this music teacher wanted me to sing it. And I'm like, if it hurts, it mustn't be good for you. And I just refused to sing it, so I ended up getting kicked out of my music class.
Yeah, right.
I remember...
You're not going to do any screamo, get out.
Nah, not that. But I remember auditioning for Australian Idol when I was like 16.
Oh, true.
So I remember I did that and then...
Is there tape of it?
Nah, there were no tape. They had like those early rounds and stuff like that.
Have you got any audio of it?
Nah, I don't even want to listen to it now. But it's like weird because I ended up finishing. We ended up finishing early. I got like a few little prelim rounds at Newcastle there they had, and then I ended up running off to footy. And I remember copping a stack of shit because, like, at that time, like, it's so like toxic masculinity. Like, Newcastle, like, it's a different type of town, you know.
Mm.
Still like blue collar, so like, if it's okay to listen to a lot of, like, you can listen to like heavy rock and R&B and all of that, but it's like, it was kind of like okay at that time. Like, if you were singing rock or hip hop,
mm-hmm,
as a male, it's like accepted. But like, if you could sing, like, it's okay to listen to, but don't like sing it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I remember copping a stack of shit, like early on in the piece for that. So I didn't do it for ages. And it wasn't until like I was like 24 till I moved up here to Briz, ended up going to ACPA. I felt like empowered enough.
Yeah, right.
So in about 6 months before that, I did like a...
It's a bit sad to hear that, because it sounds like they've taken a few years of your, what could have been your career, because...
Yeah, well, maybe, but...
Because it seemed like...
Maybe giving
you crap sort of dented your confidence to do what you really wanted to do, you know? And I think this is really important for any young people listening, is bugger them, just stick true to who you are, you know? But it is hard to do, right?
Yeah, like, I ended up doing this little writer workshop there with Kayla Tyson.
Oh, yeah?
And that got me back into writing again. And then I just kind of felt empowered to, like, the stuff that I was going through, because I went through, it was like a phase there, lost a lot of friends, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, that trauma, loss and grief.
Yeah, it's really difficult in your early 20s.
I started going down a shit path. So for me, like, being able to write, and I was able to identify that I was playing sport for the wrong reasons. Like, I just wanted to hurt someone else because I was feeling hurt.
Mm.
Now I can use music as a tool and as a vessel to emote how I feel. And it's so much more of it's a safer space.
Yep.
To be able to do that. But I think it's good to model for like other males around, just to be like, you can be vulnerable. You can say how you feel. Like, it doesn't need to be this whole thing of facade of just like trying to keep strong for all time. You don't need to do that.
No, there's this legacy of football culture in with our mob, and like, footy's a beautiful thing, we all love it, right? But particularly for my generation, that was all you could do and become, coming from out west there. And footy players were lauded and idolised, and I don't think that's right in any sense, when, you know, a lot of alcohol issues and stuff going on with that, and a lot of, you know, violence in the background around that as well. So I think now we're seeing a shift where we can, you know, I do it with my sons. My son's a muso. I want him to be soft and sensitive, bruh. I don't want him to act like a football dickhead. You know, I want him to just be himself. And if he wants to be sensitive and soft and travel that way in the world, then power to you, my boy. You go do that.
Yeah, 100%. You know? I want to model that for my nieces and nephews, and one day, like, my own kids. Like, I want them to feel empowered that they can do whatever and be whoever they want.
Mm.
Like, I need to do that. Like, people talk about leadership and stuff like that. I don't want to be like, say, oh, yeah, I'm a leader. Like, I hate that. I hate that stuff.
No, leadership, let me tell you, someone who's worked into them.
You just do it, and then people will follow you automatically.
People get labelled leaders by media. So take it from someone who's worked in, you know, in journalism for 20 years, and there's all these, you know, people get called leaders, and it's not Indigenous media that do it, but then people get these labels and, you know, they become leaders, and it's like, well, you got to have followers to lead, right?
Yeah, 100%. You know?
And I think most black fellas in community are looked at as leaders because of their actions, not their words, because they just go out and do it, right?
Like I just said, you can see people and, like, you know, you've got the qualities, but I hate being called it. I don't like it, especially when I know I've got, like, people in my community that I still look up to. Like, you're still here. Like, they're my idols, you know?
Take me to your leader.
Exactly.
You know, the aliens come, bro, they go, who's your leader? Look at the Australian. You'll find them all there.
Take them.
Now, let's talk about your songwriting. What's your process? Like, I always find it really fascinating. I love our songwriters. I love our artists. I love how they shape their lyrics, in a sense. Everyone's totally different. What's your process to writing lyrics, and how do you draw on those words to tell a story?
It could strike at any time.
Yeah.
Literally any time, and I'm grateful for technology where I can just, like, bust out the phone and just, like,
yep,
hum a melody, write a note that's come. Like, I'm a reactive or observational writer, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
So it's...
You write what you see.
I write what I see, write what I feel, like, that experience. Like, this song over here might have been triggered by this, but I can tap into a whole stack of emotions or something that happened years prior, like, that have, like, a similar vibe. Like, I have things in my phone where... It's like, if it's not finished, I'll write how I was feeling that day. I'll write the time of the day. And then if I can see it, and that's like, all right, cool. Maybe I can go back into that and maybe finish that. It might have just been something just to get off my chest. It might not have even been a song at that time. but it's just something to get off my chest. But yeah, like I don't really have a process as such. Like it's just I might hear something. Like a lot of my writing, I feel like my best writing is just when I'm walking, like in the bush, like going for a walk at the beach and stuff like that, kicking off that feet, connecting to country. Like that's when I feel like
opens you up.
That vibration, like linking back to mother itself, opens up a whole stack of, I suppose, like thoughts, processes, or something that I have not consciously like thought about, because you kind of get lost in that hustle and bustle of like. Of life, paying bills, like things of that nature.
Yeah, the old writer's block, I think. I think for me, sometimes when I've tried to write in terms of fiction or non-fiction, writing a book or even writing articles, you get writer's block and you can't... I couldn't write as a blackfella for ages because I was just stuck in the city. And I think the urban world around me was affecting how I you know, put the pen to the paper and the words that would come out. So what I would do is every week I'd go up to the Blue Mountains and just go for a bushwalk, bruh, because it just seemed to open me up and, you know, these words from home would come out and, you know, it's too hard to drive out to Moree. It's a 6-7 hour drive to get back on country. So going up to the Blue Mountains and just going walking would open my brain up and my soul up, and different words would come out that actually felt and meant. Do you find that in your writing process as well? It depends where you are and what you're doing?
Yeah, like definitely. One thing I do is I like to challenge writer's block. I love to do that. And I was reading like a passage in a book from Ed Sheeran. And I think a lot of the time when it comes to writer's block, we're just overanalyzing the words before they actually get to paper. So I try and just use like a voice memo and just say it.
Yeah.
I feel like there's no time to filter like my words. And then I can go back and analyse that as like, was that exactly what I meant, or did I mean it some other way? But I just spew everything out.
Just get it out first and then come back and have a look at it.
So I've been trying to just do that a little bit more. But yes, it can strike at any time.
Yeah, I've heard that from a lot of songwriters. It just depends, you know. It can be a stressful moment, a happy moment, anything. And again, I just love the diversity in our lyrics and from our artists. And, you know, I often say to people out there, if you want a clue who blackfellas are and what we're going through, go and listen to our music. Yeah. As our history is there, and there's so many, you know, we've got this amazing bookshelf of legacy artists, Yothu Indies, your Bunna Lawrie's, you know, all these great music from the 70s and 80s and even before that. And now today we've got all these young ones just coming through. Like, and that's obviously built on the back of our legacy artists, but... are you seeing what I'm seeing as all these, and particularly during COVID, bruh?
Yeah.
It seemed to be all these 18, 19, 20-year-olds just went whooshka. And I was just like, wow, this is amazing. I love it too, bruh.
I love it because it's like that new generation of coming through. But these fellas are savvy when it comes to the internet. It's savvy when it comes to...
You gotta
social media.
You gotta use the phone, bruh.
Technology.
You know?
It's... They're good with, they know how to market without needing this whole corporate model. They know how to do that. I think COVID was a cool thing for an emerging artist or just someone that might have been just tinkering in the bedroom to really shine. And I think you're really seeing that, the fruits of that in like the last like a year or so, especially when you see some of these lineups now for these festivals that are like... domestic artists from here, and they have the ability to be on these lineups and share who they are, share their art form and craft amongst this space. Have a look at some of the lineups prior to COVID and how much were they like international artists based. Like there was a lot there, like, so it wasn't a lot of room for a local artist to make it on there. So the lineups I'm seeing in the next, like over the last like year, we've been able to.
You got Blues Fest coming up, all Australian lineup, and a lot of our mob are there. You know, those sorts of things. And I was talking to you earlier around Brisbane Blacks, the festival that we put on, and you know, there's some artists there that I've never even heard of before. young Chloe Terrier was an example. I just went, wow. You know, she was playing guitar with her dad. Her dad was playing the guitar lead for her, and it's just a great sound. And
mixtape.
Yeah,
it's like it's got such a commercial vibe. Like, I think it'd like stand on its own on radio, like mainstream radio, and it should be there.
Yeah,
it's got that Doja Cat, Nicki Minaj vibe to it, but the storytelling's there.
Yeah,
that. Like, you can hear it regardless of how, like, contemporary or, like, dance is, our mob's music is. You know the layer of mob. You can see it.
Do you think our mob can tell a story in any space, in any genre?
Easy.
Yeah. Because I think they get pigeonholed a bit, but...
Oh, it'd be like folk world or some of this stuff. I'm like, we could literally step into any space possible. And I've seen it. I've been to some of these songwriting camps. You can put like three different fellas in there, but a good yarn, a good story, a good song can stand on its own regardless of genre. And I think mob have, we've just, it's in our soul, it's in our DNA.
Mm.
Like, we do it better than anyone.
Yeah, I think I love it when I see this, the confidence come through all these young ones and even the older ones, you know, like that was, you know, the best thing about Brisbane Blacks Festival was that you had, on one end of the scale, you had Mop and the Dropouts.
Yeah.
And then you had, young Jem Cassidaley and Chloe and that playing down here. And it was just, you see this beautiful mix of black music and storytelling. It's just beautiful. And in terms of storytelling and songwriting, I want to peel the layers off the onion on one of your songs, brother. I think it came in the original 100, come up pretty high. It's called Bullyman.
Yeah, I was freaking out that day too, eh?
Yeah, it was great. It was great recognition, and I think, the way our mob vote too, they vote for some old songs, they vote for some new songs, they vote for some classics, they get their friends to vote. It's just a wonderful thing, and it's got so much potential, the original 100. So it was great to see the old and the new and, all these different flavours come through. Well, I
loved the day. I was sitting home in Newcastle listening to it, me and a stack of friends, and like I said, to have both of the songs in there, top 20,
yep,
they freaked me out. Like, it was way, like, there was so many, like, great songs, and, like, I stand on the shoulders of some of these songs. Mm. Like, I'm able to, like, the work I do, like, in and out of music, like, is because of them. So, like, it means a lot to be able to be recognised by people that love the music. I said, I do it selfishly because I want to emote how I feel and stuff like that, but the fact that it connects to people, like, that's everything.
Yeah, I can remember Oz. On Invasion Day, I was driving from Coffs Harbour back up to Brizzy here, and so I was listening to the original 100 the whole way. It was just such an eclectic mix of music. But can you tell me, what's Bullyman about? This song resonated with me. I just love the sound, the story. I was in the car with Goosebumps just going, wow, this is an awesome song. What first gave you the idea for Bullyman? And then can you tell me what the song is about?
Yeah, so I was...
Because a lot of non-Indige mob wouldn't know what Bullyman means.
Mm. So it's... For me, I was just sitting there. We had a class at ACBA, and I was really peeling the layers back of representation of mob in media. So we were watching Jetta. We were watching Rabbit, like, all the way up to, like, Rabbit Proof Fence and everything
mad.
In between, barbecue area, all of that stuff.
Great.
And I was mad wild, eh? I got... Like, not that I wasn't, like, aware of it all, but I just got real wild about it. And watching Rabbit Proof Fence reminded me of Marnie's, Auntie Margot and Auntie Jude, who were reunited back at Crewa, like, a few years prior.
Yep.
And hearing them tell their story, especially Auntie Jude, like, going through phases of her, like, maturing as a baby, as a young woman, until mother herself, and, like, just telling that story, like, between the sisters.
Oof.
And, like, there's so many great songs and heartbreaking songs that you go listen to with, like, around Stolen Gem. And I was like, well, how can I tell this differently? So I added the character of the Bully Man in that. So it was like, to have that as a character-driven piece, so it could be told from two perspectives. So, like, after you hear that little, that mid-break where it goes back down and then, like, hard life full of trouble. Like, that's the part of, like, the realization of, like, auntie and that, just realizing that false sense of security.
Yep.
That she was laid and peppered with from a baby and a kid, and how wrong it was. So that it kind of just come from that, and I just wanted to use the lullaby. A lullaby is, we got lullabies, we got comfort toys, and like things I was talking about Rage before, mm-hmm. like me watching the video, like that's a thing of comfort to help to give like a kid a sense of security. But using that in an opposite way, using that lullaby sense as a false sense of security, the toy piano in there as well, like it's like, how can I, musically, how can I lure this in a different way while using a kid's toy, traditional instrumentation, but also a representation of like a choral arrangement in the background, like to have all these things like represented in a type of way.
It's almost, you know, the toy piano, it's almost haunting.
Yeah.
You know, it's that, it's like when you see in a movie when it's a horror movie, but using really...
No, I'm not lying. The Conjuring was a massive influence on that, how they use their toys, like the music boxes and stuff like that. Like, that was a huge one because, like, you see the kids, like,
using
horror movies. So, like, when I saw that, they have, like, all these songs, like, Jeepers Creepers.
Yeah.
How they got the old, like, radio and they just send it, that old vinyl crackle.
Yeah, it's something... mesmerizing and also completely scary when you use something that should be joy and for kids, toys and things like that, but they're using a horror sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's that juxtaposition. It's just,
that was a huge influence for it, without a doubt.
Let's talk about some of the lyrics in the song. Because, I just love the way it's sort of done, but I'll just read them out and you can sort of tell me what they sort of mean, or sort of how you come
rap
up with them.
Genius. Rap genius.
Yeah. So the second part is, you don't know where you're going, won't know where you're from. You'll be lucky to hide or even run, but you're protected from this slum.
Bully man picking the kids up.
Yep.
That false sense of security that, like, oh, we're trying to protect you from this area that you're from, and trying to paint the community that you're from as a bad place. It's obviously it's not, like, it's the place of love for us. But you hear, and especially like that bully man was very much based on the Mr. Neville Devil character from Rabbit Proof Fence.
Yeah, right. Yeah, picking that up.
So then when you see that, it's like, oh, this is such a bad place, and they're trying to paint that picture of home for you to be bad. Place you shouldn't be at.
Yeah.
That this life over here is much better. So that's what that is kind of about.
The grass is greener on the other side of the rabbit-proof fence, right? That's what they want you to think. I love this one. Well, I don't, but it's haunting. But we'll teach you how to read and write, assimilate from dark to light. Your brothers and your sisters are somewhere else to protect you from yourself. It's pretty deep, bro.
I said the Bible colleges that they had,
mm-hmm.
schools, like going into education, whitewashing that, like our own traditional, like educations, being on land, our own languages. But yeah, just that, again, painting that picture of that your family's no good for you.
Yeah.
We're better. That's what that's about.
Hush, little baby, don't you cry. I just love that line in any sense. Anyway, hush, little baby, don't you cry. It's such a... could go anywhere. White mama, buy you a brand new life. We'll take you in. Your future's going to be bright. A hard life full of trouble, full of nothing but pain, getting knocked down but getting up again and again.
Yeah, so that first half of that,
mm-hmm.
is like that transition of going into home. You know, they were either taught to go slave labour and just be housemaids or look after that space, or like, here's your home, like, you're living with us now.
Yep.
Your future's going to be bright. I think I had the lyric in there, your future's going to be white.
Yeah, right.
Originally.
Yeah.
But I wanted to put bright in there still to instill that false sense of security rather than just say directly, like, going to be white.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I like that.
So that's what that was, and just obviously just playing on the melody,
yep.
the story of, like, the lullaby and something that's so familiar for comfort. Going into that hard life full of trouble part is Auntie coming into that stage of her life of understanding where things are at now,
yep.
knowing that things were wrong.
Yeah, I like how you've...
Yeah, hard life full of trouble, full of ultimate pain, getting knocked down, getting up again and again. Like, you're going through that. And we'll do it in this whole contemporary sense. Like, we're trying to find who we are, but who we are between these two worlds. But talking to someone that's been directly affected, like, who was taken.
Yeah.
Like, that thing of identity is huge. And feeling like you don't belong anywhere. And, like, just... It's hard, like, it's hard to grasp and understand. Like, I know I'm, like, affected by it indirectly, but I'm not the person that was taken away.
No.
So, like, me being the vessel to tell this story, I hold that with huge honor, huge respect, in the same way that I'm given, like, all these traditional stories from down home to pass on generation to generation. This is just one of those modern day song lines, I suppose. To hold that and be able to tell this story, for good or bad, but to educate.
Because it's the truth.
Yeah.
You know? This one hits. I love how you sort of switched storytellers. It seems to me that you switched storytellers in the song. The narrative's coming from two different people, like you said, right? I'm just a baby they took away over the hills and far today. Over the hills so far today. Don't know my family or where to look. I'm just a baby. You know, this reminds me of Archie Roach. Mm. So when I was in the car driving up, I was going, oh, it reminds me of the story that Archie Roach told me one day when he got taken. But, yeah, it's just, it's very descriptive, right? It paints a picture in your head, like I was saying before, right?
Yeah, it's just being, imagine being taken away, like, aunties that didn't get reunited for years, like 50 years.
Mm.
But the fact that, like, one auntie was still able to stay home and knew about their siblings, and the others, like, kind of knew stuff, but they were a bit younger, you know? Yeah, it's heaps confronting just even coming back, just analysing it.
Yeah.
This way, yeah.
Because we're going back into the pain.
Yeah, like, you know? Like, you literally, some of these mob have been blessed to be reconnected. Some of these mob have been, you know, are still on that journey to try and find home. And some have passed without even knowing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, that, it's great we've got places like Link Up and all that now to be able to help try and bridge that divide. But someone's still going through that identity of, like, not knowing who they are or where their mob are from.
And then get questioned by their own mob.
It's hard.
I've seen that when it happens to Stolen Generation, because they're not exactly sure of their tribe sometimes, you know, or their clan group. And sometimes they get questioned by our own mob. It breaks me seeing that. I think our mob need to be heaps more sensitive for Stolen Generation mob sometimes, but it's a complex world we live in, brother.
Yeah, like I said, it's hard. And just having those conversations with people, like, just have an understanding of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I know Grandma had to go through it, but... That was a different time, like, growing up around Dubbo and all that back in those years. Like, you'd be telling someone else you're someone else.
Yeah.
To not be taken away.
That's right. It's tough out west there.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. Now, this last one. Hush, my babies, don't you cry. Bullyman won't come around tonight. Mama won't let her babies out of her sight.
It's that space where she's in motherhood herself now.
Yep.
Do everything to protect the child, that, you know, her children, from the false sense of security that she was given, trying to break into generational trauma. and raise, you know, these kids to be proud of who they are, where they're from, because they were able to have that now. There's a sense of closure. There's always going to be that trauma there, but there's closure because there's your home, you know?
Yeah. No, that's beautiful. Thanks for taking us through that. I've always wanted to ask that since I really got invested in this song and hooked into its lyrics. I guess a little big Dan Rennie out there. We'll get out of here soon. But I guess as we talk about songwriting and lyrics and more people coming through, the Queensland Music Awards are on very, very soon. For you, how is our industry placed? And I guess, you know, the storytelling and the lyrics that you're seeing coming through.
Yeah, I'm absolutely loving the yarns that are coming through. Like Betty Ray's.
Yeah.
Like it's such a different like space. Like we've got some of the old rock from like the 70s and 80s, and to be able to hear that like kind of like come through in a different way, because like we get painted with this whole thing of like country or like hip-hop and stuff like that. So you hear them fellas come through and do their thing, like it's great. Chloe, obviously with the pop sensibilities that she has. Jem, like it's a, like we're all carrying legacies.
Mm-hmm.
But she's on the shoulders of one of the biggest we've ever had.
It's probably well. More pressure on her.
Yeah, well, I feel pressure just from, like I love being up here. Like a lot of my identity started up here musically.
Yeah.
And you go home and I'm like, I'm so proud to be Nicky and Justin's son, right? But I come up here and I get my own identity.
Yep.
Like I'm Jake, I'm storyteller, I'm musician and all this stuff. Like I really love that. So seeing her carve out her own space now, because like she's a beautiful storyteller, beautiful artist.
Oh yeah.
So to be able to see that shine through and to have like the nomination that she has tonight, so well deserved. There's some highly commended artists in there. You got Tristan Barton, Gloves, but yeah, like it's not only just here in Queensland, but there's so much amazing music. Like I love listening to Tasman Keith.
Yeah, he's one of my faves, Tassie.
Like one last year, by far, like one of my favourite tracks.
I love Love Too Soon, the one he just recently done. He filmed it down on Coffs Harbour Jetty, bruh.
That film clip is amazing.
You know, I just love artists going outside of their normal genres as well and pushing themselves.
Another one. 18-year-old man, he's a producer, artist himself, but a lot of people don't realise, like, he's nominated for a Grammy Award for the work he did, production.
Who's that?
18-year-old man, Vin Goodyear.
Yeah, right.
He did production on Lil Nas X's album.
Yeah, right.
Based in Sydney.
Blackfella.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, bro.
Jeez.
He's incredible, absolutely incredible. He's over in LA at the moment. I love the work he does.
Well, I've never heard of him, so thanks for ringing that.
Yeah. I've got to list all these followers, but yeah, it's just, Vin is, I love what Dobby does. Like, not only what he does as an artist, but like everything he does compositionally.
He's one of my favourite people to interview when it comes to like talking about music, and just, he is a freak. Yeah. And I mean that in such a complimentary way. Like, his brain is bigger than his body. Like,
oh, he's incredible.
He's a classically trained pianist, does all this other stuff.
Rapper.
And puts it in there. I first saw him at Yarvin, bro, when he's just playing the drums, right, and rapping. I just went, oh, my God. You know, it was like an extension of Bart Willoughby.
Yeah. he's doing this stuff at the moment with Australian Guild of Screen Composers, like this intensive.
Mm.
So, like, I'm excited to see what's going to come out of that, but like him, Brendan Boney does all this other composition and that on the outside for like Bangar and other theatre stuff. Like we got Mob occupying so much space musically in not just this whole contemporary world either. One of my favourites is that me and Denzel, like I'm Baker Boy, like we used to live together here when we were both at ACBA.
Yeah, right.
And we're both like living out of Yumba there at the hostel. So to see the rise that he's had, like
it's inspirational, bro.
You get so invested in it.
Yeah.
You know, like Budra.
Their journeys. I gave him his first ever media interview, Budra, and he was so nervous at home, so he was hiding in his bedroom at home. I had him on the radio.
At Fingal.
Yeah, at Fingal Head there. And his mum was there with him, and his two sisters are outside trying to annoy the crap out of him.
No.
Good ways.
I watched him miss that a couple of weeks ago, and it was electric.
Yeah.
Like, to see how much he's grown into, like, this stage presence and that now. And
he's a storyteller, that young boy.
Like, he's on tour with Vance Joy going overseas.
Yep.
Europe, US and that, like.
So black music is a real, I don't know, it's a real beacon of pride and joy at the moment, and has been for forever, I guess. But in the last few years, we've just seen so many magical artists come through. Obviously, with the confidence coming off the shoulders of giants, as you've said before, Jakey. But for these young artists, say we've got a heap of 13 and 14-year-olds out there getting music, even a bit older. Looking back on your younger self, bruh, what advice would you give these young ones now about taking the next step to songwriting or just performing on stage? You know, there seems to be so many good...
No time like the present, do.
Yeah.
If that's what I would tell my younger self, no time like the present, just do it. And reading.
Yep.
Reading is one of the most underrated things in the world, and you don't realise... I used to love it, and then I stopped. But reading about your favourite artists, what were the struggles they went through? Like, people write books for information. Like, people go through 30 years of, like, trying to be an expert on something that you can read in, like, a few hours. That knowledge is yours then.
Yeah.
To take any way you want. So for me to understand my favourite artists, their journey, things that I might or should expect, you know, to happen along that journey. Like, that was, like, reading a few of those, like, biographies and stuff, like, invaluable for me. But also just understanding music business, I think, or just business itself.
Yep.
Is one thing to be an artist, but not everyone gets management. Not everyone gets all of that, you know, funding. Like, so to know how to run yourself as a business, to know how to be self-sustainable as an artist, like, everyone these days, like, you could just be the king of one back then. Now you got to be jack of all.
Yeah.
So my thing is to understand, like, social media, understand, like, your craft, understand the writing. Like, you have to understand all of this stuff. If you're interested in it, go for it. But that's outside of music too. Like, you want to be a doctor, same thing.
Got to read.
It's transferable. Like, enjoy what you do. Be happy. More important, like, I love seeing the joy between people's eyes.
Mm.
You know, like, it's, you can kind of, like, feign happiness and that at times, but, like, you can't hide that, like, when your cheeks go up to your eyeballs and see the joy about stuff. I love seeing that when people, like, talk about, like, stuff they're passionate about.
And the measure of success is not just a top 40 hit, is it? You know, I think so many young people think, oh, you got to get a hit to be recognised, and that's not, is it? That's, for me, that's no measure of success at all.
Mine's the happiness. Like, mine's, like, being content and happy with my product. That's it at the end of the day. Like, if it connects with you, great. Like, I look at, say, for me, I freak out because I'm not coming home. The other song came in higher than Bully Man.
Mm.
For me, that is so much more of a connector because of the personal struggles that I went through and, like, retelling that. But that came out, like, 2 weeks before COVID.
Mm.
Everything got derailed for that release.
Yeah, we couldn't go home for 2 years.
Yeah, like, I couldn't tour that song. Mm. Everything that I had organised for that, I couldn't do, and it just got lost in the woodworks. But it's been a slow burn.
Mm.
And it's come through, and I get so many messages when it pops up or played for people because, like, that's a part of me telling my, like, internal struggles of what I was going through at that time to get on the other side. Like, so I wasn't one of those fellas that was so far gone and lost. I could come out of that and be able to tell you this yarn here today.
Mm.
So for me, it's just, I said, I'm so content and happy with what I put out because I'm sitting there analysing that stuff before I even do it, before I put it out there. I'm already going through that, like, oh, could I do this a bit better? But also just being content with the fact that that's the best I can do at that time.
Mm.
and I'm only gonna evolve and grow as a person, as a man, like forever.
Yeah. You keep learning and keep working, my bro. Well, we're running out of time here now, but thanks so much for coming in and sharing your journey and your story and your songwriting and lifting the lid on that, because I just think it's so valuable for our audiences and for any aspiring sort of songwriter out there, you know, young muso, black muso, to get into it. Where can we find all your music, everything? Spotify?
All of Spotify, Apple. Share, like, and subscribe.
Share, like, and subscribe. Get on it.
Link in bio. 10% off. No.
Wookie's album up till payday. But, yeah, it's been a pleasure, Jacob. And thanks for sharing your story and all the work that you do. And come back in and keep yarning to us, bro, because I know you've got some more stuff happening down the track, not only with your music but also the work that you do. And we'd love to keep talking all about that.
Man, 100%. And all the love and respect back to you for the work you do in all this space. And providing us a space to actually tell our yarns.
Yeah, I just think
it's really appreciated.
AAA Murray Country, you know, that original 100 and that whole concept around music and storytelling just gives us a really good platform to get our artists in and share these stories, because not only our people but the whole world needs to hear it.
Oh, just the medium you hold as well, bro. It's appreciated more than you understand.
Yeah. I'll have a... I can't say good weekend because this is the timeless show, so I'll have to cut that out. I just balls that up. But thanks for coming in, Jackie Ridgway. Check out all his music on Spotify, our preferred premium partner. Bully Man is one of my favourite songs. But, yeah, black music and black lyrics are going to save the world. I believe that. And you're listening to AAA Murray Country.
Hi, folks, Dusty here. Don't forget to join me for the Sunday's Big Brekkie here every Sunday morning between 6 and 9 a.m. We'll have interviews, health tips, daily choices, events and programs. Well, we got the lot. Join me, Dusty Fraser, every Sunday morning here on the Sunday's Big Brekkie. Right here on AAA Murray Country.